Has God given me the secret to winning souls, or what some would call evangelism? I think he may have, but I also think he may have given that to you too, especially if you're a Christian. I think this is something that we must talk about. What's up, that Supernatural Talk family? We are on episode number 10 of That Supernatural Talk. So we got to celebrate. We are now in the double digits of podcast episodes, and we have a good topic to start out episode 10 with. We're going to talk about what it takes to evangelize and what it takes to win souls. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a wise man wins souls. And it tells us in 2 Timothy 4:5 to do the works of an evangelist. So evangelizing, winning souls, is a very important thing for every believer to do. We've all been called to do it. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been told to go out into the harvest field because the harvest field is ripe. But there's something that's in there too that's not too joyful. It says that the labors are few. So I pray as you're listening to this podcast, you get encouraged and you start stepping out into that harvest field that needs laborers. There's so many people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and the gospel is the medicine that they all need. So before I begin, I just want to introduce somebody. Now, I got a little disappointing news for you. This will be the first episode that Keegs Ice, Glory Boy number 2, will not be showing his face, and it's because he has a knot on his forehead. Yeah, he hit a table and he got a little bit of a knot there, and we just need to keep him in prayer. He just honestly, he didn't want to come on camera and looking that way, but it's all right. We're praying for him. He's actually here right now, so no, he's here.
Go ahead.
He's
go
actually ahead. He is on here. Camera, you want to come on camera?
Go ahead.
Come on camera, man. We got Glory Boy number 2. Keegs Ice in the house. Come on, there he is. See, it ain't that bad, man.
Hello, everybody.
Man, did they miss you, man.
I'm doing this for you, Supernatural Talk podcast family, because I love you so much. And even though I have a huge knot on my head right now.
It's not huge.
It's red.
It's not huge.
I still
huge.
Wanted to come and say hello and tell you guys that I love you guys. And if you can't see me, then you're blessed. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, then you're blessed. But if you're here on the YouTube, I apologize. So
unless they have the seer anointing.
Amen.
Then they're seeing you by the Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
It's really not that big of a knot, man. It's crazy. You look like Keegs to me. It looked like he had a whole iceberg on his head when he had that ice on there. It was wild. But anyway, this is how we start out the podcast. If you had the behind the scenes, you would even see some more funny stuff. So you guys become a podcast member, meaning a member of the podcast channel right here. By hitting join, you'll get to see some of the funny stuff going on. But let's get past that. You know, it's good to know that Glory Boy number 2 was willing to come on. But I have here today another evangelist that is joining us again and will be on here often with us. We have Glory Boy number 3. We have a Mark Jean
in the house. What's up, everybody? How you doing, Apostle? It's awesome to be on here tonight.
Yeah, man. I had to bring you on. You're an evangelizing machine.
Praise God.
Yes, well, by the grace of God. Listen, I feel like this is a great topic. I mean, we're evangelists.
Oh, yeah.
We have evangelist anointings. We have evangelist grace. The whole world, if you're a believer, you're an evangelist for the whole world, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're all called to win souls. So I started out as an ordained evangelist before I became an apostle. But I've always had an apostolic heart. But, you know, what thrust me into where I am today was winning souls. And being out on the streets and being fearless. And in this podcast, I won't. You guys that are watching this to become fearless and to be able to step out. So I felt if we share some of our testimonies of just going out and evangelizing, even Keegs back there, if we share some of our testimonies of when we first started evangelizing and what it was like, I believe it's going to encourage many people to step over these fear barriers and just become mighty warriors for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you guys this. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 2013, I was already evangelizing in another way. I would go out and just tell people about Jesus, but I didn't know anything about the supernatural. We would just have Jesus talks all over the place with my coworkers and all that. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit became very real to me, and I started to see the craziest things on the streets. Now, when I first started going out, it was not easy. I remember I'd be on the internet, on YouTube, even back then, and I would look at other evangelists that were out on the field, the harvest field, doing these crazy supernatural miracles. Some of them didn't really bust onto the scene in a big way, but I remember watching them. So thank you to all those older YouTube preachers that were out there doing it early, because you paved the way for people like me. So I honor you and I appreciate you. But I remember watching them. I mean, I can name one. Todd White was out there doing it big.
Oh, that's a big one.
In 2013, he was out on the streets healing the sick. I mean, he was a big thrust to the healing movement on the streets and also the word of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very thankful to even him and him being able to pioneer a way for the harvest field to be wide open with the power of God. So thank you to him. But I would watch his videos, and then I said, you know what? This guy's fearless. Like, he was praying for everybody.
He was bold.
Everybody. And I think he's still like that to this day.
Oh, yeah.
But he would go out and he'd pray for everybody, and I'd watch him pray, and I said, man, I got to do this. So I just started going up to people. And, you know, one of the things I learned early is you can't worry about their opinion of you.
Wow.
If you care about what people are going to think of you while you're evangelizing to them, you're going to find every excuse why you shouldn't talk to them. Look, everybody deserves to hear the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the good news. It's going to save them from hell. It's going to save them from going to hell because you let them know that they're in sin and they need a best friend.
Wow.
They can pull them out of going to a bitter end.
Wow.
Huh?
So good. Come on, you spin bars now.
Yeah, man. So you let people know good news when you don't want them to go to hell. Mm. So you tell them about it. You tell them about what Jesus did, and they accept Jesus Christ.
Wow.
As their Lord and Savior. But if I was so concerned about people's opinions, I would have never stepped out. Did it. I remember one time when I first was doing it, I would be going down the road, just driving down the road, and I would see people with walkers. I would see crazy stuff like people with boots on.
Wow.
I would stop my car, get out my car, and go after people in the beginning and just start praying for people. I remember one time years ago, man, I'm talking like 2013, around that time, I remember I went into I was coming after this guy, and I said, hey, man, he stuck his hand in his coat. I know he was about to give me a cap. You know what I'm saying? And then I said, no, man, I'm not here to hurt you, man. I just want to pray for you. So, all right. And I went and I got to pray for him, you know, but I've done a lot of crazy things in the beginning too, but I look back at those days and I'm like, wow, it was so amazing learning about this in the beginning, becoming so on fire and just telling everybody about Jesus. And even to this day, I still share the gospel. I still evangelize everywhere I go, all over the world. You know, when you're faithful with little,
come on,
he'll make you faithful with much.
Yep.
That's so good.
You have to be faithful with the one. All of you guys, all the evangelists in TSNL, in the supernatural life, this ministry, I'm telling you, they are on fire and they share the good news with anybody. We have some wild ones, man. Mm. In this ministry, we have some wild people, man.
Holy Ghost knuckleheads.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mark, tell me a little bit about when you first started evangelizing. What were some obstacles you faced to get out there? And what was it like when you first were getting going?
Well, Apostle, it actually started with you. I remember I was seeking for the supernatural, for an encounter with God, and I ran across your page about 3 years. I think it was 2020 when I ran across your page. And I just remember just being so hungry to want to be used by God. And what's so funny, I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit really was at that time. But you were like, so you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm like, yeah, I wanted to knock me out.
So you weren't evangelizing before that?
No.
Really?
I was in the clubs. Check this out. I was in the club evangelizing. I was a party promoter. And the devil was really perverting that gift that God has placed in me. And literally, I can remember just, you know, I had a homie. He said, hey, Mark, I got a party. I'll gather up 300 people in one day. I don't even know how, but I know it was that gift that the Lord has placed. And the Bible says the gifts are without repentance. Mm. So, the devil likes to pervert that. But I remember when I ran across your video and You literally prayed for the Holy Spirit to fill me. And literally I felt just the power of God just came over my body. And I knew in that moment I was never the same.
Wow.
It was almost as if like when it's almost like the story when Jesus was telling the disciples, tarry here until you receive power, until you're sent out. And I knew in that moment that the first thing that came up, like that I instantly knew was a boldness. Like I felt a tenacity, a desire to just go out for whatever reason. I wanted to tell, at that time I was working at Walmart. Remember, I was telling you that story. Yeah. I'm like, yo, it's either I'm going to get fired or they're going to tell me to clock out of work. Cause I was ready to tell people about Jesus of what just happened in my room. Cause it was through a Zoom call. So I just remember my first time evangelizing. I went into Walmart and I'm like, man, literally I laid eyes on a guy that had a cast on. He was walking shopping with his mother. And the first thing that came in my mind was like, is it going to happen? Like I had so many voices in my mind saying, this is not going to happen. He's not going to get healed. You never did this before. You don't know what you're doing. Like you're hearing all these voices projecting louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I just kind of like stepped out in boldness. That boldness just came over me like, man, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, I just felt something I never felt before. Jesus is real. Like, he has to show up in that moment. And I literally put a demand. Like, it was, you know, and I went to the guy. I said, hey, do you believe in the power of Jesus? He was like, yeah. I was like, do you believe you could get healed and that cast can come off of you right now here in Walmart? His mom was looking at me crazy like, who is this? What is he talking about? And, you know, he said, yeah. So, mind you, I never seen a miracle before, but it's something about faith. It just moves you. It's like, Lord, you better show up. It's in your word. You know what I mean? And I remember praying for him. And literally, I told him to take the cast off. And he started moving his arm, his forearm, his wrist. And it was just, he was shocked. He was looking at his mom like, oh my gosh, I don't have any pain. He threw that cast on the ground. I started screaming in the Walmart. And my manager called me in the back. And yeah, they gave me a warning, but I couldn't stop talking about Jesus throughout that whole day. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, Mark's bold.
Yeah.
Mark is very bold. Everybody, man. That's why I love the supernatural life. You know, it's not the Daniel Adams. It's literally a family. It's a movement. Yeah. It's the gifts are so incredible and the family aspect is so incredible here at this ministry. And I believe we're about to see even more breakthrough, you know, and that's why I love this podcast even because we get to come on here and share this stuff and you guys are getting impartation and ignited just by listening. So yeah, I know Mark when he got hit with the Holy Ghost, man, that was crazy. That was crazy.
That was a wild encounter, man. I'll never forget that day. Like yeah. I remember telling you like, what was that? Can you do that again?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so real to me. Like I was so desperate, man. A guy was like, you know, I grew up in a Haitian household, you know, like where they had to drag you and put a belt on you to go to work, to go to church. Like we were forced to go to church. So I never really had that pull from my heart, you know, that was genuine to serve God. But I don't know, man, the Lord just kind of, he just knows when it's time to just pull you in. Right. And, you know, I just went on a journey of seeking him in. I just got knocked out by the Holy Spirit. It was crazy.
Yeah, guys, Mark invited me to a haunted house one day.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Well, half joking. It was an interesting place. He brought me to ATL. This is before we were where we are today, and the channel was still a little small. I think it was like 5K subs or something.
Yeah.
This man, I said, hey, I want to come to ATL, and he gets us in an Airbnb. I remember my son, he was left. My son said, Dad, some crazy stuff going on in this house. And Mark, we always joke with Mark and we said, hey, you let us in a haunted house, bro. That's crazy. And then we had Jack then.
He said, Jack was freaking out.
Yeah, Jack was freaking out, man. You know, the dogs are sensitive to spiritual stuff.
Yeah. Forgive me, I wasn't looking at the reviews on Airbnb at that time.
Were the reviews bad?
I was just looking for the cheapest Airbnb because at that time, like, you know, I was just.
Cash wasn't heavy, I understand.
Yeah, cash wasn't heavy. I was like, I got to find the cheapest thing, but.
Hey, it's all right, man. We made it. We're still alive.
Praise God.
Still alive. Now, I want Glory Boy number 2, Keegs Ice. Keegs, I bet when you started evangelizing for the first time, it was electrifying. I bet it was amazing. Now, listen, Keegan is really bold. He really is. I mean, unapologetically bold. He went into an Alphabet church one time and give him the business. Wow. The Lord told him to go in there and give him the business. He was really bold. But you can talk about that later if you want, Keegs. I wanted you to tell me about when you first started evangelism. What ignited you into it? And how do you stay so passionate today for it?
Yeah. I started evangelizing before I came into TSNL. I would say, well, I got radically saved in college. And so what happened was, is that I was in a fraternity and I was going around, you know, and I was known as the party guy. Like, I would go around the fraternity, all the different places. Like, people wanted me to be at their party because, you know, like, we were just, I was dancing, you know, I was doing crazy stuff. So, I get radically saved my freshman year. I was just a big party guy. I was just dancing, you know, having a good old time. Like, I was, you know, just the fun of the party. And so I get radically saved my freshman year. And I'm just like, I need to tell everybody about Jesus. So I would go to the bars, I would go to the fraternities, I would go to everywhere, and I would tell people about Jesus. And so I even went one summer to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for a campus outreach, Summer Mountain Project thing. And I would go, all the other people were super scared to evangelize. I was like, let me go. I was 19, 20 years old, and I was like, I'm going to the bars. I'm going to the moonshine place. I would stand outside the Gatlinburg, like, Smoky Mountain moonshine place with all the drunk people, and I would preach to every single person who would walk in or out of there. I'd start preaching about, you know, how I was an alcoholic and I got saved and Jesus set me free. And I would literally preach to every single one of them. I had atheists screaming at me, yelling at me, crazy things happening, people just, like, you know, cursing me, all this stuff. And then I got hit with the Holy Spirit, got baptized in the Holy Spirit my senior year at a house church that was playing Jimmy Swaggart videos and stuff like that. So after that, man, I graduated college, went to a church, was a church intern, and I just started going out. They had motel ministries. So we'd go to motels and, like, the worst parts in downtown Indy, and go to motels. We would do all this stuff. We'd go, they actually wouldn't even let me, because they were starting to have me lead some of the stuff, man of God. And they would be like, Keegan, like, you're too zealous. Like, I was too zealous because I would, like, I want to go to I would go to the craziest people on the streets, like, fully demonized people I would go up to, and I would have full on conversations with them. And they were like, Keegan, like, you need to be careful. I'd go up to gang members, people who had guns. I'd go up to them and I'd just start talking to them about Jesus. They're like, Keegan, you're going to get taken out if you don't stop. So did that. I saw some crazy stuff happening. Had a homeless dude get out of a wheelchair and start running one time.
Wow.
His pants fell down. It was pretty sad. I know Spanish, but, like, I wasn't, like, super, super fluent in Spanish, and I would go to the Spanish communities and I would just start praying, and then I would just start praying, and it's like the Holy Spirit took over. I'd start praying and speaking in Spanish, and I, like, was like, whoa, this is crazy. So I really started evangelizing and serving that way. I was probably going out and evangelizing at one point almost every single day I was going out, whether it was going to the motels, going to downtown, after work. I couldn't wait to get off work. I worked in the church. I literally every day I was like, when is it going to be 5 o'clock? When is it going to be 5 o'clock? And I would say, God, where can I go evangelize after work? I would drive, I would get in my car, I'd pray in the Spirit, say, God, where would I go? Like, where can I go? And he would take me to different places, like a grocery store, restaurant, wherever. And I'd go in and I would just be like, all right, God, who do you want me to speak to? And then that's what I did. So evangelized every night after work for like 2 hours. Then I'd come home. So, wow. Yeah.
That's the early days, man.
Yep.
I love it. And then I watch these guys go from zealous and on fire to going through their crushing seasons to getting back on fire. You know, it's pretty cool. Some of them are in process. It's really awesome. God, you know, that's the beautiful thing, is God brings us through these processes to refine our character. Mm. You know, zeal without godly boundaries is a bad thing.
Wow. Amen.
So I think God lets us taste that excitement, and then he kind of pulls us back on the reins a little bit to correct us, get us right, you know. But he's a good father, and he does that. He allows us to, you know, taste things. One of the things I've learned is I remember when I started evangelizing, I built up to revival meetings. And I remember in about 2016, I had a big meeting, man, big meeting in Orlando. There's a lot of people. And I noticed that it was starting to really flow. Mm-hmm. Like I was seeing we were seeing churches packed. A lot of people were coming. I didn't have no social media following. You know, I had very little people. I mean, wow. Hardly anybody on lives and anything, but somehow people were showing up to all the meetings. So God gave me a glimpse of now back then. God likes to give us glimpses of what we're going to do. And then what'll happen is he'll take us through that. I call it like a wilderness season, or a season of quietness, a season where, you know, it feels like, man, did I mess up? Did I do something wrong? When the reality is he's pulling stuff out of us. So he'll let us taste it and see it and get a glimpse of what's to come. And then we'll go through these seasons of refinement. And then we come back in strength and in power. It's amazing. Wow. So, you know, that's why it's so important to always keep your heartbeat for the one in evangelism, like we're talking about right now. Never forget the one, because you'll stay humble. That means if you stood in front of thousands, or if you stand in front of 200, you stand in front of one, or millions, your heart posture is not changing.
Wow.
Because you're standing in front of so many, you know. So always remember that, guys. Keep your eye on the one, and you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. So has there ever been a moment in evangelism where somebody has wanted to almost fight you? I have had, well, if I tell you guys about all the time somebody's almost wanted to fight me, I can tell you from meetings to on the streets. I was running one time near Crane's Roost, and I was running down the road where I used to evangelize. There was an old man there. So when I would run, like I'd do my miles and stuff, when I would run, I would stop the people on the street that I was running by. I'd be like, hey, man, I just want to tell you Jesus loves you. You got any pain in your body? Can I pray for you? One time this guy said, get the F away from me. Who do you think I am? I don't want to have to talk to you.
Wow.
I said, hey, bro, I'm not meaning anything. And straight started manifesting on the street. And he was old. He was probably like 65, 70, older than that. I mean, 65 is not that old, but later on, it depends who you're talking to, right? But at the time, that was a little older to me, because I think I was still in my late 20s, and this guy, man, just flipped the script. I thought he's a nice old man. I thought dude's nice, life's good, he's walking. Dude snaps on me.
Straight
and once up. I thought he wanted to fight. During evangelism, I've ended up in trap house before.
Wow.
In the back of a trap house.
My goodness.
Had the drug dealers out front. They looking at me crazy. I think I'm about to get shot. They're like, who are you? What are you doing? I said, I'm the preacher man. Oh, you the preacher man? I said, yeah. All right, you good? You good? I'm telling you, man.
Some close calls, man.
Bro, I did. I mean, I could have got lit up. I was evangelizing doing this walk in the middle of the night on Orange Blossom Trail in Orlando, Florida. Some people know what I'm talking about. Bunch of prostitutes, bunch of pimps out there.
Wow.
And this guy pulls up on me. He's got devil horns. He's got tattoos. He's got a nasty shirt on, a FUBU shirt, old FUBU shirt. Mm. I pray for this guy, man. And he's tough. Like, yo, what you doing on the street? Blah, 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 blah. Why you out here? Da, da, da. All that stuff. And I pray. I said, man, look how much out here showing the love of Jesus. Can I pray for you? I got this on video.
Wow.
I prayed for the guy. Power God smacks the guy. He hits the ground like he died. He gets back up.
Wow.
Changed. And I remember I took my shirt off and he took his shirt off. And my shirt said, Jesus saves or something. He put my shirt on. I had his nasty shirt on.
Come on.
Yeah, man. It was so powerful. Prophetic, bro.
Yeah.
Such a prophetic picture of how God cleans us up. You know,
it's just crazy. Like just one touch like that, somebody just completely get changed.
Yeah. And they wanted to fight in the beginning.
Now, those are demons manifesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And in 2011, I'll tell you this, in 2011, I was working security at Universal Studios, CityWalk, and I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'd be talking to people about Jesus. Drunks will come out, start yelling at me. Wow. I try to fight them too. I'd be like, "Hey man, Jesus loves you. F you, security guy, blah blah blah." I said, "You got a bunch of drunk muscles." I said, "You ain't gonna do nothing with them drunk muscles." So I'm trying to give them Jesus, but cussing them out too at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You're right. The peace, the self-control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't have all that. My character wasn't good. I hadn't been refined yet. So, Mark, has there been any times where somebody wanted to fight you in evangelism that you had to stand firm and hope for the best? I bet you had some ladies try to beat you up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, in Atlanta, we have it all. We have it all.
Oh, ATLs.
We have all types. Man, I can't count how many times, you know, people just aggressively, they just, their demeanor just changed instantly. It was a time when I think I was evangelizing in the mall. I think I was at Lenox Mall at that time. And I started ministering to this man. Now, at that time, I was zealous. I mean, I didn't really know too much about evangelism. I just was kind of just stepping out in faith. But I went to this lady.
Like when y'all got us kicked off a cruise ship. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, my goodness.
Keep going. Keep
That's
going.
A whole other story right there, right?
Oh, Lord.
Keep going. We'll talk about that.
Jehovah Sneaky.
Shout out to Fluffy. Yeah. But yeah, so I went to this lady, right? Like she looked very down, very sad, depressed. So I'm like, all right, this is a perfect person to minister to. When I come up to the lady, mind you, at this moment, I didn't know she was married. All right, so I'm just coming up to this lady, just, you know what I mean? Good intentions, simply to preach the gospel to her. The moment I came to her, I was saying, hey, how you doing? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, her husband comes out of nowhere and checked me. Like, yo, what you doing talking to my girl, bro? Like, what you? And I'm like, yeah, hold on. No, I'm just preaching Jesus to her. That's all. And literally, you can literally see, like, when I looked at him, I literally saw, like, this demon in his face wanted to just knock me out.
Wow.
But I knew, at that time, I didn't know, but looking back now, I knew it was something spiritual that was happening. And yeah, just out of lack of wisdom, you know what I'm saying?
He probably was cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
You only act like it sometimes if you're doing some dirt.
Oh, that insecurity was kicking in him.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And what was crazy, like, thank God, by the grace of God, the Lord, you know, the Bible says, open up your mouth and he'll fill it. The Lord just kind of started. I was just ministering to him about some things about his life. And he kind of, like, it's crazy how the prophetic can literally change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Just one word of knowledge, one just insight can cause someone to just stop and just be like, wait, it's only God that know that. How do you know that? I don't even know you. It just makes them just stop.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the Lord in that moment that is ministering, and the atmosphere just opens. And he was so receptive to receive what I was telling him about his life and what he was going through with his family. And then right after that word of knowledge, he was so open to receive prayer. And he gave me the blessing to pray for them and their marriage. And the Lord touched them. But yeah, I thought I was going to get smacked in the face in that food court.
Wow.
It was crazy.
That's wild.
Like, he literally came up to my face. He was a big dude. Like, probably, like, two of you put together. He was a good, like, 6'4", 6'5". Like, it was intimidating. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
Yeah.
You had to put on your gazelle legs, bro. Yeah.
I was going to scream like Keegan in Croatia.
Let's not go there.
That's a story for behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's not for this podcast.
Man, that's now I'm going to remember that. That was good. No. So Keegs, has been any time? Look, I already know Keegs got plenty of stories.
What?
Who tried to beat you up during evangelism, man?
What? What do you mean I have plenty of stories?
Ain't you almost got whooped several times?
Yes, I have.
Bring Give us one. Key. Here, let us hear.
There's a lot. There's a lot that I got. I've had the cops called on me a lot of times. I've had the cops called on me a lot. There was one day. So, you know, the one day that I went to the Alphabet Church,
yeah, yeah.
I got the cops called on me four times that day.
Four times.
We were out. Listen, there was a season of my life where
four times
I was very, very zealous. No, but it was good though, because then we ended up praying for the cops, and then the cop ended up getting deliverance and he got set free, and it was great. So we had favor. It was God ordained. But oh goodness. I've had a lot of people. I've been hit in the face before. I've been spit on. I've had people do a I've had a lot of things happen. I've had a lot of things happen, man of God. I'm trying to think of, there was a season before I came down here and was intensely crushed and humbled where I was just like, I'm ready to fight every demon out here. And so there was one day, this guy, I was like, we're going to tear it up. We're going to tear it up on where I used to live. There's a bunch of bars and everything. It's called the Monon. So I go down there. I'm blasting music. All the companies, all the restaurants are calling the cops on us. People are calling the cops on us. I had this guy who's an atheist who starts arguing with some of the forerunners in our hub. Mm. And at the time, I was the Indiana hub leader, you know, all this stuff. And he's arguing with them over and over and over again. And I go up to him and I was like, excuse me, sir. I said, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? He's like, well, no. I said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. I look at him and I was like, then you can leave. I said, then you can go. There's nothing that you need to do here. And he bucks up against me and he's like, who are you? You know, like, he's like, you think you're all that and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I look in his eyes and I talk to the demon. I saw the demon. I was like, every demon spirit of the Antichrist and anger and rage, Leviathan, I say, get out of here right now, in Jesus' name. And so, yeah, he called the cops on me, took videos of me. He sent it to you and Annette and Maria. He emailed Annette and Maria and you.
Wow.
He emailed to you to complain about me. He was angry. I made a lot of people mad.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. So I had to.
So you're saying you're like Steven?
And
no, don't take that.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was good. And then, you know, I got the cops calling me from all those pastors because I went and told them that they needed to repent in the Alphabet Church. So that was another time where I actually got escorted out of the church. Like they like escorted me out and I had my boot on. Remember I had my boot. I walked up in there and I told them that they needed to repent. There was like four of them.
Wow.
And they were like, oh my gosh, we're calling the police and security, take him out. And so, yeah. And so I literally had to like run down the street to hide. And then I got in a car and then I drove off. I got there. So, yeah, that was a fun time.
Man,
fun times.
That's some intense stories, man.
Keegan's always in some crazy mess.
I know. You know, when I used to evangelize in malls, one time when I had my man bun, the people in the stores in the mall would call the security when I'd walk through the front.
Oh, they do.
And they say, man bun guy is here. And they had papers to show who I was. This has been some years back. And I said, are y'all kidding me, man? Me and the security, I used to beef with the security all the time when I go in malls, any mall. I remember one time we were evangelizing, I think it was in New Jersey area, and I went in this mall and we were like evangelizing, talking to people. This woman goes on this Segway, she's like Paul Blart Mall Cop, but she was the white woman, right? She's the white woman version.
Oh my goodness.
And she goes, you can't do that in here. You're people are complaining, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hold on. Nobody's complaining. Everybody I've talked to has been in general conversation.
Wow.
I said, I can talk to people, right? And she was like, no, oh, you didn't buy it. And I said, hold on, let me buy something. So we buy. And I say, now I'm a consumer, blah, blah. Anyway, so she's standing there and she's, you know, segueing. So she segues off. And then we go eat in the food court. And we're just eating. Here she comes again. Oh, my goodness. And I said, what's going on? Why is she back? She says, we want you to leave the mall. I was like, but we're eating. And she's like, it doesn't matter. You have to leave. I said, oh. I said, so you're making me leave because I'm a Christian. And she goes, I'm a Christian too. I said, so you're going to be able to stand in front of Jesus one day knowing that you told me to get out of this mall because I was telling people about Jesus Christ. You're going to be okay with that. Who are you to tell me about my religion? Blah, 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 blah. You better go. I'm going to call me. I said, you know what, woman? I'm out of here. I said, God bless you. I hope you get convicted. I hope the Lord will convict you of this craziness because I wasn't doing anything crazy. But man, I'm telling you, going in malls has been an interesting thing for me. It's like, it's interesting. Malls have been a tough one.
Wow.
Yeah, malls have been tough. That segue was funny though, man. I watched her. I was looking and I said, you could see her mask. She had the face mask on. She had the mask under the face mask. She had sunglasses. It's like she was strapped up. It was during time when everybody's still wearing masks. Wow.
Those kind of people get really mad.
Man, she was on another level.
Of course, she calls herself a Christian. That's the crazy part.
I mean, you know, they do with what they have. They take the job serious. You know, some security guards are top flight. Top flight. And don't let them become a top flight sergeant. Mm. Security sergeant in a mall, man. They take that serious, man. They feel like they're real police officers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny though. Being a security, I was former security. I love all security officers. I had a Class D license down here and everything. I understand, but you know, when I was doing security, you do get this false sense of like, oh, I'm an authority, but you can't arrest nobody.
Yeah,
if somebody smacks you, you're probably going to be in trouble. You can't do nothing until the cops come on the scene. You know,
that's crazy.
So you know, that's just some funny stories of some stuff I've had when I was evangelizing. I've had a lot over the years, man. A lot of wild stories.
Wow.
A lot of wild stories.
So many wild stories, man.
Ended up in people's houses. I would evangelize on the street, meet somebody. They say, hey, I want you to come to my house and pray for this person and that person. So I evangelized one person. I'd end up in their whole household. I did a 40-day fast one time. Mm. When I come off the fast, something broke open. Whoa. And I was doing house revivals. I can't tell you how many house revivals I did where I would go into a house and a whole family would be there. I'd minister to one and whole families would come. So I'd end up getting to know everybody's family.
That's wow.
Yeah, so I had a season where I was, and like I said, this was no social media. Not many people knew me. Yeah. I would go in a person's house and it just
Book of Acts style.
Crazy. Yeah, baptizing the Holy Ghost, giving the correction that was needed, wow. Whatever it is in the household. So, you know, that was some fun stuff, evangelizing. Evangelism's fun, guys.
Yeah,
it will open doors for you that no man can shut.
Come on.
You have to go and evangelize. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you feel like you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You have to evangelize. Don't wait for somebody to open a door for you that you can open up by simply doing the small things. Wow. By simply going out there and just loving the hell out of people, telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. Doors will open. I promise you. I promise you.
So good.
Breakthrough will come into your life just because you're loving the one in front of you. And you'll have stories and testimonies that you can tell. I used to get in the car and just drive long distances just to go to one family. Mm. I believe that's those obedience moments that have gotten me to where I am today by the grace of God.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
You know, go for the one. Be willing to look crazy and act wild. I mean, that's kind of how you guys are here right now. You did a faith move. It started out by you guys looking and getting imparted to, going out on the streets, and look, here we are today.
Wow.
And God's taking everybody from glory to glory, and we're serving a bigger purpose than ourselves. So you guys want to see doors open. You want to see opportunities in front of you. Evangelize to the one. That's the secret to evangelizing.
Come on.
Be willing to love people. That's the secret. Go out there and tell somebody the good news. That's the way you're going to win souls. Remember, the Bible says, store treasures in heaven, not on this earth where moth and rust destroy. How do you store treasures in heaven? You evangelize. Yeah. You win souls. Mm. That's building your mansion in heaven. That's helping your grass get green. You know what I'm saying? That's going to give you things and treasures that you don't even know. You're going to get up there, and you're going to have this mansion. You're going to have these treasures. You're going to have this wonderful stuff. And the Lord, what is this? And the Lord's going to say, this is the reward of your labor.
Mm.
Okay. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Come on. So good.
There are many places for you. So, I mean,
how would those mansions be filled if we don't go out and speak to the one, you know what I mean? Because we're the hands and feet of God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how would God display himself here in this natural realm if we're not doing the works? You know, it's crazy. Like, I used to think, like, the body used to leave it up to the pastors or, you know, the head operator to do all the kingdom work, but it was never meant to be like that. It's like the Book of Acts. We're empowered, we're sent out, you know, and we encounter people.
Yeah, everybody does it. Everybody does it. You know, people would get so mad at me or jealous of me because I do everything.
Mm.
I'm not a one-trick pony, and people cannot stand that I do everything.
Facts.
So, like, you know, I tell people, don't get mad at me because I have the faith to do it. You go do it too.
Wow.
You know, it always blows my mind because people that get upset with me, most of them don't even evangelize.
Mm.
And they'll say, well, God ain't called me to be in this, blah, blah, blah. Or they'll be like, I'm too old now. I don't need to. No, it ain't no age limit on this thing, man. Ain't no age. And you know, if you're above it, then you might need to go back under it. You know? Amen. So you're never above it. Oh, you never outgrow this stuff. Wow. Jesus didn't outgrow speaking to the one. Don't forget that. You don't either. You still have to speak to the one. You still have to love the one that's set in front of you. That's a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ, to go out there and love people. I mean, Jesus did it to the Samaritan woman. He did it to Mary Magdalene. He did it for blind Bartimaeus. He did it for the man whose son was being thrown in the fire. He did it with the woman with the spirit of infirmity. You know, he did it for the mute man. He did it for all these people.
Wow.
You know, the one is the one. The book of Acts, the man at the gate called beautiful, silver and gold, have none, stand up, Peter, you know? Peter going into the house and raising the girl from the dead. You know that? He saw Jesus do that, so he was able to do it.
Wow, come on.
Remember Jesus went and raised the girl, Talitha Kumai, rise, right?
Rise up.
Tell her to rise up. And then we read later on, Peter's doing the exact same thing. Paul, dude falls out. I think somebody falls out the window, right? And then Paul comes, raises her from the dead. Mm-hmm. It's because they saw it. Faith was caught. You want to raise the dead? Read the Bible, get the faith, and go do it.
It's deep.
You do what you see.
So that's good. Why, too, I want to share really quick for people who are young, zealous evangelists. It's so important to come under, to submit yourself and come and serve under a man or woman of God. That's so important, because the things that you see us evangelists doing, it's replicating what our apostle has already done for us. He's already pioneered the way. He's already gone forth. And everything, the thing that you see us doing, it's because we've seen him do it. Mark, I don't know about you, Mark, but like,
or somebody else,
every single thing. Yeah. But like everything that like we've done, it's been shown obviously by God, by Jesus, but it's been shown by our apostle. So anyways, I just wanted to say that that's super, super important.
I mean, the way I look at it is, you can't be a proper apostle unless you've done everything you're expecting everybody to do. Mm. So, like, I can't tell people to evangelize if I haven't evangelized. Mm. I can't tell people to heal the sick, cast out demons, do all these things, speak in tongues, blah, 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 unless I've done it. I can't go and expect somebody to do media and all these things unless I know how to do it.
Wow.
Like, I know how to utilize and do all these things. That's why I don't teach people how to play piano and guitar, because I don't know how to play that. I can strum a little bit, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which maybe this is the year of impartation where I start playing some musical instruments.
Prophesy.
Yeah.
Prophesy.
So even, you know, even Keegan, he sings better than I do. Talking about with the vocal levels and understanding things, and I've been able to even learn and glean from him.
Wow.
So you gotta, you know, it's just always stay in that place of humility and like he said, always be willing to learn and grow so that you can continue to go.
Mm.
It's pretty simple.
Wow. Amen. I have a question, man of God.
Yeah.
What are like some, I would say, dangers or going into deeper waters before your time in evangelism? What would you say to people that never evangelized before? What are some things to look out for and be cautious of?
I mean, you know, being zealous is cool, but you know, you want to make sure, you want to know that you have peace in when you're doing something. You don't want to just feel this prideful feeling of, I'm going to go show people everything. Because there have been people that lose their lives before time because they're coming out with this pride, this zeal in the name of Jesus. Like, you, if you're martyred for the right reasons, amen, but don't go and get martyred because you did something in your own flesh.
We're not early.
Some people go do crusades, but they're not even ready to go do crusades because somebody from the Middle East told them to come, and next thing you know, they're gone.
Wow. Hmm.
Because they just wanted to stand in front of thousands. So the enemy used their pride to set them up to go over and do something.
But were they covered?
I mean, obviously not, because they weren't covered by the voice of God. If they were, they wouldn't have went and probably didn't have accountability. They wanted to be rogue. They wanted to go and do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fruit speaks for itself.
Mm.
If something's really of the Lord and something's been commissioned by the Lord, the fruit will speak. You'll see the results of it. If it's made out of the flesh and man, it won't stand the test of time.
Wow.
You know?
So good.
But guys, be ready in season and out of season. Do the works of an evangelist to fulfill the call on your life, to fulfill the ministry God has for you. You know, evangelism will ignite who you are supposed to be in Christ very, very fast, and it'll show you how to love people. And then you want to see signs, wonders. Don't wait to go into the church building to be approved of by the pastor. Start now. Let this be confirmation to step out on the street, speak to the one. If you see somebody sick, pray for them. You see somebody needs deliverance, they'll manifest even on the streets. You need to baptize somebody in the Holy Ghost, Do it. The streets are wide open. Fair game for anybody. Nobody can stop you on them streets. Nobody. So do the works of an evangelist. This is the secret, guys. The secret is what we've told you. Be fearless. Be bold. Use wisdom and go out there and tell everybody who Jesus is. He's got the way, the truth, and the life. Don't forget that. And we need to let people know who the way, the truth, and the life is and how they get to the Father. And it's only by Jesus. And he is all of those things. So anyway, guys, this has been episode 10. If it's your first time watching, subscribe, hit the notification bell, like, and share. Hit the notification bell so you can be notified of every video. Like to push it in the algorithm and share because somebody needs to hear what it's like. Well, what it takes to be an evangelist and to know the secret to evangelism. His name is Jesus. And if it's your first time watching the podcast at all or being on the YouTube channel, go back. We have 9 other videos of other topics that will really be able to bless your socks off and allow you to, well, you'll take off those socks and put on holy socks. Amen.
Amen. Anyway,
no puns intended with holes. All right. So anyway, guys, look, hey, it's been fun. Glory Boy number 2 and 3.
Been fun.
We'll see Glory Boy 1, 2, 3 eventually. Amen. Isaiah is out there doing some other things right now. So you'll see him here on one of the next episodes. But anyway, guys, this has been That Supernatural Talk, episode 10, and we just talked about it.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for watching episode 10 of That Supernatural Talk podcast. Hey, I wanted to just quickly let you know how you guys can continue to support Apostle Daniel Adams and his online global movement, The Supernatural Life. As you guys know, we are going all over the world spreading revival. People are getting healed, set free, delivered. So many awesome things are going on. He has birthed a huge movement. We're now even in prisons, youth. It's amazing. But guys, to continue this podcast, please, in the description below, you guys can join our podcast by 2 ways. Number one, you can become a monthly podcast supporter through our podcast hosting website, Buzzsprout. You guys can go there and support us on Buzzsprout. Number two, become a member. What are you guys doing? As a member, you get exclusive access to behind the scenes content, videos, posts, so many amazing things. You guys get badges so we can make sure to have priority replies to your comments, all that stuff. So become a member, okay? Become a member now. It's linked in the description below. You guys are going to be so blessed by it. We also, as well, have our website for ways to sow, to give into everything that we're doing here with That Supernatural Talk podcast. So make sure you guys sow into everything God is doing through Apostle Daniel Adams and The Supernatural Life. And we'll see you guys very soon.